Thank you so much. It's so good to be here. I came, flew out of India on Sunday night, arrived back here Monday morning, so it's really cool to be here this evening. Just to say, though, just prepare yourself, because in India, the people speak for at least an hour, hour and a half, so I'm on Indian time, okay? So anything could happen. So the rugby might not happen tonight, Scott. But just to go back a few months, the day before, well, actually, the Sunday that we started, the 21 days of breakthrough, I was driving back from church, and I knew that the next day I was going to be giving up meat, and I was going to be giving up, well, a lot of things, along with others. I hadn't planned to give up coffee, but Pastor Ben actually dobbed me in a service and let everybody know I was giving up coffee. So that was, I had to give that up too. So I thought, okay, I'm driving home. I'm going to my local store and I'm going to buy as much meat as I can and I'm going to stuff my face with it. So I went to our local store and I walked in and I saw the reduced trolley, and it was awesome because in the trolley there was this packet of what I thought was jerky. So I was really excited about this because South Africans, if you know South Africans, we love biltong. It's actually better than jerky, but this was a good alternative. And so I thought, okay, I'm buying that. Got in my car, ripped it open, thought I'm not waiting for my family. I'm eating all of this. This is all mine. Put my hand and stuffed my mouth with it. And then, oh my goodness. It was like, I can't even explain it. It was like it just kind of exploded and disintegrated and filled my whole mouth. At the same time, it was all bitty and something was really, really bad. And I was like, oh my goodness, I've got to get this out. I've got to get this out. And so I had tissues and I spat it out. And then I read the packet, which was, now remember, I got it on the reduced rack. It was a whole year out of date. A whole year. And I thought, that is not good enough. I'm a person that likes righteousness and justice. So I went marching back into the store with my open packet. And I stood in the queue. There just happened to be a queue that day. There isn't normally. And I stood there and I got to the front and I said to the guy, you know, I've just bought this from your reduce rack. And he's like, yes, yes. I said, it's a whole year out of date. This could poison. He goes, no, 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 it's fine. I said, no, you don't get it. It's a whole year out of date. Now, there's still bits and pieces in my mouth. I can still taste it. I can still feel it. And I'm not impressed because I even was like $3, $4. I'm thinking it's not okay. And anyway, he goes, no, no, really, it's okay. It's dog's food. And I was like, I know that. I was like, I know that. But even my dog can't eat this. And then I just left with my tail between my legs, the shop. Got home and I thought, I'm just going to put it in the bin because he could see it's open. I mean, he's not stupid. And I was just like, but even my dog, I don't have a dog. Okay? So just to let you know, I don't have a dog. And every time I've gone back to that shop, I try to hide down the aisles. When I went back today to buy it, to show you, this looks like jerky. It looks like jerky. It says nothing except for right over there. That little word. In fact, they've got a picture, I think, at the back. It says dog, but I mean, really? Really? So I went home, I thought I'm going to chuck it in the bin, and then I just started to laugh, and my kids were like, what have you done? And I was like, well, I thought I would eat this, and actually it's dog's food, and like Rachel's like, that's bad. But what's even worse is that you went in and complained, and then you told them you had a dog. But anyway, so that's me, but the title of my talk tonight is Speak Life. What are we filling our mouth with? Because what we fill our mouth with takes seed, and it can either satisfy or can destroy. This destroyed, believe me. But I was very excited to buy the real deal, and I'm going to have that later. So, Michelle, I spared you. And Sarah, I spared you because both of them wanted to eat this. They're like, we're going to eat that while you're up there. Don't eat it. It's dog's food. Okay, so let's just pray. Father, we just come before you this evening. We are just so overwhelmed by your faithfulness and your goodness that you run after us. You pursue us, Holy Spirit, that you do not let us go. And so I just pray tonight that I wouldn't speak with wise and persuasive words, but rather with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, soften our hearts to that which you'd want us to hear this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. So, The scripture I'm going to be looking at is a well-known one when we speak about speaking life, and that is Proverbs 18:20-21. And it says this, wise words satisfy like a good meal, not like this. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You know, if you are looking for a breakthrough or a miracle in your life, at the moment, if you're looking for God to break in and to do a miraculous work, if you're looking for the kingdom to be manifest in your life, then I'm telling you, you need to watch the words that you speak. Because there is power, there is authority, there is an anointing on your tongue, and the words that you speak give life. So if you are speaking words of life, then it will go well for you. Because you can expect to have hope and to have purpose and to speak destiny and to feel faith and joy, peace. But if you are speaking words of death, then you're going to experience doubt, fear, anxiety, disappointment, offense, anger, unforgiveness. Because the way we speak internalizes. It's like a seed that is planted within us. And from that comes a harvest. And depending on the words that you're speaking depends on what that harvest is going to look like. It's going to depend on the environment that you find yourself in. So tonight, we need to take notice of the words that we speak because we give life to the words that we speak. You know, we just have to look back to the beginning of creation when God spoke everything into being. He was creative with his words. He had powerful words, words of authority. And he spoke into that space. You know, Genesis 1 says, it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. You know, if we look at that scripture, if you look at it really closely, there are three conditions that the earth was in at that time. It was in darkness. It was empty. It was void. It was formless. It was actually in chaos because nothing was in order. So we are looking at a world that was in darkness, that was in chaos, and that was empty. I wonder if there's an area in your life right now, tonight, where you think, wow, there's darkness in that area, or there seems to be emptiness, or there seems to be chaos in that area of my life. Because let me tell you something. Chaos can be sickness in our cells of our body. Chaos can be in our finances. It can be in our health. It can be in our relationships. It can be in our workplace. Darkness can be depression, oppression, fear, anxiety, emptiness, void, where you feel like you don't have a future, or I'll never find a spouse, or I'll never have children, or I'll never get a job. But let me tell you something, God spoke into those places. God spoke light into darkness. God spoke order into chaos. God spoke resource into emptiness. He spoke and things changed because there is power and authority in the words that we speak to create and to shift the atmosphere and to change that which is going on around us. God spoke. Jesus, if we look at Jesus, he spoke to the man with leprosy and he was healed. He spoke to the dead and they were raised to life. He spoke to blind eyes and they could see. He spoke to deaf ears and they could hear. He spoke to food and it was multiplied. He spoke to water and it became wine. He spoke to the loaves and the bread and they multiplied. His words were creative. They carried power and they carried authority. Now here's the good news. God said that you and I, we are created in his image. We have his likeness. We are just like them. In fact, he says that we will do far greater things. Have you ever thought about that? Far greater things than he ever did. Are you expecting to see that in your day, in your generation, in this church, in this neighborhood, in this community? Are you expecting to see those things take place? He has created us in His image. So we get to speak forth and we get to see things change. We get to speak forth and we get to speak light into darkness. We get to speak resource into emptiness. We get to speak order into chaos. We need to get a revelation of what that looks like, because it could change your life and it could change the life of the people around you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to us. Isn't that cool? That excites me. It also says that in Romans 4 that we can call things that don't exist as if they do. What are you holding out for? Begin to call it in. Begin to pray it in. Begin to make declaration, because things can change and things can shift when we begin to do that. I want to speak, and we'll see how we go, but five keys on how to speak life. The first one I'm going to look at, and actually I thought I was quite clever, because they all start with B, and then we go A, B, C, D, E. So I thought that was quite good. Okay, so cool. I had to rearrange things a little bit, but that's good. Be in agreement. We're going to be in agreement with God, we're going to be in agreement with His Word, and we're going to get others around us that will come into agreement with us so that we can speak into circumstances and situations. Be in agreement. Matthew 18, 19 says, I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. If two of you agree. You know, if we had to look at the story of Mary, here's a young lady engaged to be married. An angel appears to her, and the angel says to her, you are highly favored, and that she would be with child. And at first she goes, how's that possible? But then notice, she begins to step into obedience, and she begins to accept, and begins to speak about the promise that God has given her. And she says, in her word, she says, be it unto me, even as you have said. But there's something else that I find really interesting. Because at that moment, at that time, what she did was, she took herself out of her village. Have you thought about why she did that? And she went off to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying John the Baptist. Why do you think she removed herself from that place? So that she could position herself with people that would speak life, would speak encouragement, would speak purpose, and would speak to the child within her womb, the promises of God. She was not willing to align herself with the people that were going to ridicule her, that were going to mock her, that could even have stoned her. So she took herself out of that place and put herself in a place where she knew she could. People would be speaking life over her and would agree with the promises of God over her life and over her womb. You know, my family's testimony, some of you might have heard this, but my family's testimony was this. When I was growing up to the age of 5, my mother had come from a Christian household, my father hadn't. My mom and dad were going through a lot of strife in their marriage, and in fact were separating, coming back together, separating. One morning, on a Sunday morning, my mom felt the Lord say to her, go to church this morning. She hadn't been for a very long time. She actually got there late, and she sat in the back of the church, a little Methodist church, in our hometown. Most people knew her because it was a small village. And they saw her sitting at the back. And at that moment, a couple got up in church and they shared their testimony about God had brought them back together and how they were now serving the Lord in full-time ministry and going around the country sharing their testimony. At that moment, my mom heard, probably for the only time in her life, the audible voice of God say to her, this will be your testimony. And she said to God, if that is going to be my testimony, I will serve you all the days of my life. And she broke down and she wept. And afterwards, the pastor called her to the front and he said, what did I say? And she said, you said nothing. God said everything. And she told him what the Lord had said to her. And then he said, that's really great, but maybe that's not what's going to happen. As did the rest of her family and the rest of the people in the village. Why? Because my dad was a gambler. He was in an adulterous relationship. He was drinking and he was climbing the corporate ladder. But my mom chose to believe the word of the Lord. She chose to believe the promises of God. And so what she did was she found a few ladies, older ladies in the church, that got around her and met with her once a week to begin to declare and to begin to speak life and reconciliation and restoration into her marriage and into our family. Did it happen instantly? No. Did things get worse? Yes. There was one night where she was lying at home, 12 o'clock at night, and she heard a knock on the door. My dad was not meant to come home that night. He had gone out drinking and doing what he was doing, but he stood at the door, weeping. And my mom's first response was, "What have you done? Have you crashed the car? Have you lost the money? What have you done?" And he stood there saying, "I want God, I want you, and I want our children." And that was a defining moment in my family's life, because within 18 months, unchurched, he was in full-time ministry. Within 18 months. But why? Because my mother chose to come into agreement with the word of God and to position herself in a place where people were going to speak life over her and into her and begin to declare. And let me tell you something. It changed the course of the history of my family. Because from there, my father planted churches. He led churches until the day he died, 10, 11 years ago. My brother leads the church. My mother's been leading churches. My older brother, we are still praying. He loves the Lord, praise God, and we're still declaring life, speaking life over his life, but he's good. He loves the Lord. Where are you positioning yourself? Who are you listening to? Are you surrounding yourself by people that are gossiping, but that people are speaking from a place of offense or a place of hurt or a place of unforgiveness or a place of judgment? Because if you place yourself in that place, it begins to feed you. You begin to feast on it, and it begins to come out of your mouth. And you begin to create the environment that you find yourself in. And sometimes we go, "Oh, I'm so unhappy, I'm so down." And we all go through that. But begin to check, what are the words that I'm speaking? What are the words I'm surrounding myself with? Let me tell you, there are people here tonight, and I speak to myself too, where you might need to change your friendship circle. You might need to change the social media platforms that you want. You might need to change the environment that you find yourself in. Because if you're complaining and you're not happy and things aren't going well for you, begin to check where you're positioning yourself and what you're speaking and who is speaking in and around you. Because it makes a difference. We give life to what we speak, and what other people speak also feeds us. And soon it affects our thinking, it affects our speaking, and it affects our acting. What are we speaking? Who are we surrounding ourselves with? You see, you can't talk defeat and get victory. You can't talk sickness and get healing. You can't talk bondage and have freedom. You can't talk lack and have abundance. You give life to what you speak. Perhaps you think, "Oh, my dream's impossible. The odds are against me. I'm never going to make it. I'm not good enough. I'll never find a partner." And the thoughts go on. Well, begin to make declaration. Begin to speak the opposite. Begin to speak the promises of God and come into agreement with them. Begin to say, "Lord, your word says that everything is possible in you. Your word says that I'm surrounded by angel armies. Your word says that I'm surrounded by and crowned with your favor, that your goodness is attached to me, that your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, that you open doors for me that no other man can close. Thank you, Lord, that you have a place for me and it is good. That you have a hope and a future for my life. Thank you, Lord, that I am the head and not the tail. That you have great plans for me. That you raise, that every weapon that tries to raise itself up against me cannot prosper. Thank you that I'm a child of God. I'm saved by God. I'm forgiven by God. I'm restored. I'm redeemed. I'm healed. I'm chosen." That's what we've got to begin to speak over our lives. Because then something has to shift in the atmosphere. The second point. Be bold. Be bold. We've got to have authority when we speak. We've got to stop being apologetic. We've got to stop thinking, oh, Lord, if you would, if you feel, no. His word is very direct, it's very clear, and you speak it that way. Think of David. He has this young guy, and he goes out against Goliath, twice his size, huge, massive giant, mountain of opposition. How was he able to go up to him and say, I will defeat you and feed your head to the birds of the air? I will. Not I might, if God feels like it, or if God's feeling good to me today, I might be able to. No, I will. Why could he stand in that place of boldness and courage? Why? He got to stand there because, number one, he knew who his God was, and he knew who he was. He was chosen. Out of all his brothers, he was chosen. He was anointed to be king. And he knew that he had not been king yet. So when he went up against David, he still had to be king. That was a promise of God. It had not yet been fulfilled. So he was chosen. He was anointed. He was trained with the lions and the bear. And he had intimacy with the Father. And so because of that, he could stand there and say, I will defeat you. And no matter what amount of opposition you are facing right now, no matter what giant you are facing right now in your life, you get to say, I will defeat you. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross. He rose again for you and I so that we could have life and have it in his fullness and that we could step into freedom and experience this victory and become more than conquerors. We get to speak from a place of boldness. Did other people agree with him? No. His dad didn't even bring him when they asked him to bring his sons. Saul was trying to laden him up with all this stuff. His brothers told him to go home, but he chose to believe the word of the Lord, and he chose to stand in that place of boldness and courage and face the giant head on. Don't let other people talk you out of the very miracle that God wants to do in your life. Don't let your own thoughts talk you out of the very miracle that God wants to do in your life. The third point, be careful. What are we being careful of? Of our inner talk, of our inner thoughts. Your thoughts can hold you back. Your thoughts can push you down. Your thoughts can feed you lies. But they can also lift you up if they are based on the word and the promises of God. Think about it. What does your thought life look like right now? Because our thoughts will also determine our words. And often, I don't know about you, but often in my head there can be this tug of war going on between the word of God and the promises of God and the enemy and myself and others. And there's this, and often we'll blame the enemy, but often it's sometimes just us. Get your thoughts sorted out. Get your life sorted out. Get your mouth sorted out. Get the environment you're placing yourself sorted out. And those things might fade away. We've got to take every thought captive. You know, the first thought is not the problem. It's the second thought and the third thought when we allow that thought to nest. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If your thoughts are negative, if they're toxic, if they're polluted, you will find yourself in a place that's very hard to live in victory. You will struggle with your speech and with your actions if your thoughts are negative and toxic. But if your thoughts are full of faith, are full of God's truth and God's word, you will become more and more like him. We need to take every thought captive. What is your inner dialogue dominated by? Is it sin-focused and negative and critical? Or would you say your mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, consistent with God-honoring, Christ-focused thoughts? We need the Holy Spirit to come and shape our thoughts. We need the Holy Spirit as a guard over our mouths. Because what you speak, you give life to. What you think, you give life to. Romans 12:2 says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I love that. Because guess what? God transforms us. If I try to, you know what? I was in India, and I've never eaten so many carbs in my life. It was just like carb overload. So in my head, I'm thinking, I'm putting on weight. I need to lose weight. I need to do more exercise. But it was all happening here. It's still all happening there, I might just add. I was sick when I got back. I've been sick all week. But I now need to get these trainers moving and need to get rid of some of that. But it all happens in our head. Okay? We need to take those thoughts captive. You've got to align your thoughts with God's thoughts and begin to think his thoughts, because then he begins to change you. In one of the translations, I love where it says, we need to capture every negative thought. Capture it. Take it captive and replace it with the truth of God. When the negative thought comes, we go to the word. We find a promise. I heard from Russell Myers today that there are over 7,000 to 7,500 promises in the Word of God. Wow! There's not a situation that you can face that there's not a promise for. You need to begin to look them up, begin to search them out, and begin to speak them and declare them over your life. Because something will shift and something will change. You know, you can sit down and be a victim, or you can do something about it. And you can reposition yourself, and you can begin to speak life. Because then things will change and things will move. So much of life isn't about what happens to you. It's actually about what you think about what happens to you and what you allow to nest there and grow there and fester there. Okay? Some of the declarations that you can make is, if you are sick, you can begin to say, by his stripes, I am healed. If you're facing fear, I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. If you have a problem with your identity, I am a new creation. The old has passed away. If you are bound, you can say, if the Son sets you free, I am free indeed. If you are feeling alone or rejected, he never leaves me or forsakes me. If you have a child that has gone off the rails or something, thank you, Lord. As for me and my household, we will be saved. Thank you, Lord, that as I step my foot into this workplace, you give me this ground. You know, when I got off the plane for the first time in Australia, Sydney. But when I flew into Brisbane, I remember purposely getting off that plane, putting my foot on the ground and saying, God, you give me this ground. That's his promise to us. I'm only going to probably get to number four. But number four is be determined. Hold fast. Doesn't mean it will happen straight away. Not necessarily. For my mom, it took 2 years. But let me tell you, it was worth it. For myself, I battled to have children. I lost a few between Simon and Naomi. But God had told me before I even started to try for children that I would have 3 children. He didn't tell me how many I'd have in heaven. He told me I'd have 3 children here on earth. And so we contended for Naomi. Did I give up? Sometimes I felt like it. But then you get people around you and you begin to speak and declare life. Hold fast. Every time you speak and declare victory, you're getting closer to your miracle. Every time you say I'm healed, you're moving towards healing. Every time you say I'm blessed, you move towards blessing. Every time you say, I will not be controlled by this addiction, I will not be controlled by alcohol, I will not be controlled by pornography or gaming, or you begin to move towards freedom and breakthrough and wholeness. May not have happened yet, but begin to release the words. The last one is be expectant. Be expectant, because our God says he's a good God. We've sung about that tonight. He is faithful. He goes after us. The Holy Spirit pursues us. He is there to lead us, to counsel us, to guide us, to speak life to us. He's our counselor. He's our teacher. We need to get to know him. We need to get to know him. You know, how do we hold fast? How do we make sure that we are determined not to give up? How do we make sure that we are expectant? In Romans 12, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We get to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, by the words that we speak. And how do we do that? We do that by prayer. We do that by making declaration. We do that by speaking the word of God, the promises of God. We do that by praying in the Spirit. We do that by weapons of our warfare, by the armor of God. One of the weapons he gives us is our speech. What are you speaking? What are you feeding yourself with? You can have it now. What are you feeding yourself with? We need to begin to speak life. We need to begin to say, thank you, Father, that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You are Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Shalom, peace, nothing missing, everything in order. Thank you, Lord, that I have not got a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Thank you that you are Baal-perazim, God of the breakthrough, and that you are breaking in and breaking out in my situation. Come on. Can we stand? We need to get like Mary and get in agreement with God. We need to get like David and begin to speak boldly. We need to make sure we are placing ourselves in the right environment with the right people, speaking life. We need to speak light into the dark areas of our lives, speak resource into the emptiness, and order into the chaos. Don't talk yourself out of God's breakthrough. Let's begin to talk ourselves into his breakthrough. Amen. We're going to sing one of those powerful songs. There is power. I don't know which one. Oh, they're not there. Cool. We're going to sing one of those powerful songs. And you know that there is power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, sickness has to flee. At the name of Jesus, the enemy, every demonic stronghold in this place has to go in Jesus' name. It has to go. We were in India. We were going to bed. It was 12 o'clock at night. We had this lady who was looking after us. She was great. And suddenly all the students came running. Sue, you've got to come, you've got to come. She's wailing and crying and she's lost her job and whatever. And I'm thinking, that's weird. They said, she's been fired. Anyway, when I got there, I realized she was on fire. I mean, like not on fire, but she had fire in her and whatever. Anyway, began to pray. Began to lift up the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, the demonic thing that was in there came out. Why? Because it cannot be in his presence. Because where Jesus is, they cannot be. And that's what we're trusting God for here tonight. That if there's anything that's oppressing you, if there's anything that's holding you back, if you find yourself in a situation of darkness or chaos or emptiness, we're going to speak life into that place tonight. Amen? I'm talking myself happy here. I'm talking myself. Okay.